Well, you may know someone, or maybe you yourself have experienced this. You have worked a while, got a profession going, and then maybe a baby came along, and it was time to take a break from work. And maybe you were planning to go back in a year, maybe it stretched into two or maybe five. And now you're looking at coming back. How do you get back into that workplace successfully? Well, I tell you what, we have somebody that can help out a lot here. Cheryl Cassone is a financial contributor providing weekly job reports on the Fox Business Network. And she authored a really interesting book. It's called The Comeback, How Today's Moms Re-Enter the Workplace Successfully. You may be thinking about returning to the workplace, or maybe you've just recently re-entered the workforce. How'd it go for you? Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. And Cheryl Cassone, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's so great to talk to you today and to everybody in Wisconsin.
Well, I have, I'm a professor here at the University of Wisconsin, too, and I have probably 110 or so students that I talk with as advisees. And as I read through your book, I thought, boy, I'm going to share a lot of this, frankly, with both the men and the women, as I think there's a lot of information in your book that could be very useful to the men in the in my university as well.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about finding this topic and really digging into the research for me was, you know, to begin with, I had a mother who did this. I am the daughter of that woman. And so I knew that not just the children, but the moms themselves could find success, but they were struggling with it. This was, you know, during, especially during the recession when jobs were being lost left and right, women who did decide to take time off, whether before the recession or during it, found that they were definitely, there was not just a double standard, but they were struggling.
Yeah.
They were struggling to get back in and to explain the gap on the resume because the job market was so competitive. The other thing that I discovered in my research, though, is that there's other people that go through this as well. Say that you have to care for a sick parent, or you do have to care for your spouse, or something happens, you know, with your own health. One of the women that I interviewed, one of the moms, had a horrific car accident right before her wedding, actually.
Oh.
And she was an older woman. She was already pushing 40 when she got married, and so they really wanted kids. And even though her body was very messed up for several years, they decided to go out and have kids, but she still couldn't work, you know. And then she had the children that were young, and that's all she could handle. When she finally decided to go back to work, though, it was hard for her because she felt like, not just because she'd been through the physical battles, which I think gave her strength, but she also felt insecure going back and presenting herself to a company after being gone for over 6 years. And that's what all of the women that I interviewed over 100, all of them had at least been gone for at least about a year and a half. So I didn't interview women that took maternity leave. This was women that stayed home, that got out of the workforce, and then they went back in. I wanted to know, how do you do that? You know, how do you, not just the emotional side of it and the struggle, but also how do you present yourself to an employer so that they value you and they realize that you could be a valuable part of their company instead of just looking over you and taking a person who never left the workforce.
Yeah.
And that was kind of my goal with the book.
Yeah, and you've got some great information in the book. You might just explain how you have it organized. I really loved the examples you gave and the stories you told. Those really added a lot.
Well, the stories, I think, are really what makes the book so unique. I mean, there's lots of job books out there, and so there was no point in me writing a book about jobs, even though I'm a anchor and correspondent for Fox Business and Fox News Channel, and I'm on Fox and Friends every week doing job segments. That's,
sure.
That's my brand. And those help our viewers. Obviously, the feedback has been incredible. That's why I've kept doing it. But for this particular, you know, subsection of people, I think for me, what I realize is it's not about me. It's about them. And I want their stories, their successes, their failures, their advice, their gifts to go to other women who maybe are younger and thinking, well, am I going to want to be a mom that doesn't work, or do I want to be a working mom? There's a part of the book for that person. There's a part of you, there's a part for the woman that's at home right now that's maybe thinking, do I want to get back in? What do I want to do? You know, do I want to go back to my old job? She's kind of in that limbo. And then the rest of the book is for that woman who's trying to get back in.
Yeah.
And who's really trying to get out there and find a new career for her. And this isn't about getting a job. This book is about getting a career. Because if you're going to leave your children, it's got to be something that you love. It's got to be an amazing piece of your life, because you're going to spend time away from your kids to do it.
Yeah, and that's one of the major stumbling blocks for a lot of women, isn't it?
Well, absolutely, is what do I do? I would say about 35-40% of the women did not go back to their original career. At least 50% never thought they were going to go back, because life happens. You know, life happens, divorce happens, spouses pass away. You know, the average age of widowhood, is 55 years old. Oh, I discovered that in my research. I couldn't believe it.
I read that and I couldn't believe it either.
I know. I thought, oh my goodness. You know, but when you dig into the statistics of our country, of the United States overall, there's fascinating figures, which some of which are in the book, about that so many single women with children are living below the poverty line. Millions of them. The fact that if we did have just as many women as we do men in the workforce, our economy would grow by 5%. I mean, that's something that would make us a better nation. So all these things were pleasant surprises to me, and kind of reinforcing the fact that this is a group of people that need to be in the workforce. They need to participate. We need them to come back. And I hope that they understand that.
Talking today with Cheryl Cassone, who's offered The Comeback is the title, How Today's Moms Reenter the Workplace Successfully. You may have some experiences to share along those lines. If you've reentered, what did you do and how did it work out for you? Or you may have just questions about how do I do it. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. You do a nice job of talking about the kinds of information that women re-entering the workplace need to know about today's workforce.
Well, what do they need to know about the workforce is that, first off, technology is the big thing. And that's the biggest struggle for all of us. I mean, look, if I left Fox News for, 30 days, I would be missing something with regards to technology or social media. You really have to as best you can, stay up to date on technology. Now, for some people, that's a program that they use. Say that they are a real estate professional. There's a program that you need to keep up to date on. One woman I interviewed out in California was a nurse practitioner. She went home thinking she was never going to go back, and so she let her certifications expire in the state of California. Well, what she found is when she got divorced that she had to actually go back to school, and she ended up, because of the time and the cost and kind of that, oh my gosh, moment, I have a long road to hoe to get back into the workforce and do my previous profession. She actually had to move. She had to move to where her parents were to help with the kids and financial support. And her husband really wasn't helping. So, it's like you don't realize what you're going to miss until you're kind of in that position. Technology is a big thing. Staying up to date with social media is a big thing. One of the women I interviewed, I thought this was so fascinating. She knew she was going to stay home 4 or 5 years. She kind of had that in her mind. Then she knew she'd want to go back. Well, she kept in touch from home using social media with all of her former colleagues. Didn't think she was going to go back into that business. She wasn't sure. Maybe she would. But she kept in touch. She would like people's posts. She would send a comment to their pictures. She would engage on Twitter. She would retweet tweets of friends and reply on Twitter. And she would kind of keep up to date with kind of what was happening, in not just in her business, but, in the world itself, so that she stayed connected. That was her way of staying connected. But here's what's interesting. A lot of her former colleagues, which a couple of them did end up helping her build a business, she never went away.
Yeah.
She never left because she was there digitally on the computer.
That is a great, it's kind of networking, isn't it?
It is networking. It's just, it's on your computer now. You know, I think the old, I know when I was young, there wasn't even the internet. So, you know, for me, I thought, well, okay, you know, I've got to go to this networking event or go try and meet the person that, you know, for coffee, or who can I call on the phone? And all of that is so different now because of social media in particular, and because of the internet and how connected we are. Now you can find anything you want about someone or about a company on the computer, and you can find ways to connect to that company or to that person that you want to connect with, or you can learn about a career on the, you know, all of that is at your fingertips, but the networking can be as well. And I would encourage anyone to not discount that. It's so crucial. We live now, especially the younger generation, and everything is digital.
Yeah.
Everything, their lives are digital. Everything's on their phone.
Martha in Milwaukee has a comment. Martha, hi, thanks for calling. Martha, are you there?
Oh. Yes, I am here. I am a 66-year-old woman. I was an RN and a physician assistant, and I became disabled. And I have been forced to return to the workplace at the age of 66. Because I can't afford to support myself on Social Security alone. And I have many friends who are in the same boat. And I think it's disgraceful that in America, one of the wealthiest nations in the world, is causing its elderly people to return to the workforce because Social Security will not allow us to live on what it pays us.
You know, it's a sad thing. And Cheryl, I'm sure you spoke with many women, elderly women or older women. Getting back into the workplace can be really tough.
Oh, sure, of course. And, you know, the first thing I will say to you is you are not alone. Because of what happened to our economy, there are so many men and women out there just like you. You said something interesting, and I don't know if this is something that you'd explore, but obviously you need to do something from home. I have seen some research, and I don't have it right in front of me, but that you can do medical transcription from home. I don't know if that's something that you would consider. Or you can also do, because you've got a nursing background and a nurse practitioner background, you could also do a lot of the health insurance companies now are employing people that do work from home, that you work on the phone, and you're advising people
on that. We're going to stop right there for a minute. We'll take a quick look at the news, and then we'll be right back with our guests. Stay with us. Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller. We're talking with Cheryl Cassone today. She is the author of The Comeback, How Today's Moms Re-Enter the Workplace Successfully. Great to have her along, and I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. How do you balance a professional career in motherhood? I'm sure that's a huge challenge. How do you get back into the workplace? Questions, comments, give us a call. Maybe suggestions. Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Cheryl, you were giving some advice, and I thought really good advice, to a caller just before our news break. And sort of the gist of it to me was you were telling her that she could use the background that she developed in new and different ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's the trick, is finding out, you know, and that's where the research comes in, is and talking to people and being on social media is, or just kind of looking around and seeing what's being offered to you and how life has changed around you. And I know that's a very broad way to characterize it, but depending on the job that you do, so many industries now are completely different than they were even 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and especially for someone like her in the healthcare system. I mean, healthcare is just completely different than even it was 5 years ago. So, you know, with everything changing so much, that's the trick. And that's where it really does, you really have to, again, have that network at home, that social network. But also, that's when it starts to really, you know, you have to start talking to people. Because if she's someone, I don't know if she does or does not want to continue with her chosen profession, but she does have those skills, and if she did enjoy those things before before she retired, maybe she would be willing to do that part-time to make some extra money. The most common question I get from Fox News viewers, Fox and Friends viewers, is what are the good stay-at-home jobs? So the reason I kind of had the idea about what she was talking about is because I've done segments on it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of scams out there. That's where you got to be careful. There's so many scams where they want you to pay them money to set you up to work for them from home. Don't do that. That doesn't happen.
That just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's a very common scam out there. But if there is a way to use your previous skills but do it from home, a lot of the women that I interviewed did that. The woman that I told you that used social media, she did start her business out of her home. There was another woman who ended up teaming up with two other women in her same position who had all been home with kids. They were all psychologists. They decided to team up, the three of them, to start a company. It wasn't a psychology company. It was actually a recruiting company. This is in the Boston area. And they decided, after they worked from home, each of them, for I want to say at least a couple of years. And then when their business kind of took off, they were able to open up some office space and share that office space. But the beauty of them working together, and it can be tough to find a good business partner, but it's wonderful if it happens the right way, is that they all had each other's backs with their schedules. If somebody's child needed something, either that mother was free to go or the other moms took care of it. It was a team effort from a business standpoint, but also from a life standpoint.
Yeah, that's great. Janet in Eau Claire has something for us. Hi, Janet. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I was calling because I might be a little bit off the topic, but I'm like 57, and I did get a degree, an accounting degree, when I graduated, but then I did stay at home with my children. And as about 5 years ago, I've gotten divorced. But I wondered, what can I do to get in back into the workforce?
When did you leave the accounting field? What year was that?
Like about 50, a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
And I just worked like 2 or 3 years. It was right before my husband and I got divorced.
Well,
I mean, got married. And then,
yeah, the good news is that accounting skills are forever. My sister's an accountant, actually.
The problem is I don't have the computer skills.
Right.
As much with that.
Do you have a computer at home?
Yes.
So I would log on to the web, and I would search for online courses that you can take, because this is the most cost-effective way to do it. I know you and I, I'm sure we're both young, we went to actual classrooms to take, classes.
Yes.
It doesn't work that way anymore.
Yeah.
But what I would like you to do is see, especially if there's a local community college or a college in your area that offers online coursework and that can offer you some new accounting coursework. And I would first see what the requirements would be, like what programs you need to know to take the online course. So there might be a second step involved, but because you've already got that core skill of accounting and you've got the education, you're farther ahead than someone who doesn't have anything. But it may take a few months, not even a year, but a few months. And I will also tell you this, that accounting firms are hiring exponentially right now because of banks are getting audited and the government and all the regulations, and then just, accountants are very needed right now. So that's good for you, because there might be a way for you to either shadow a younger person. I mean, I know it sounds crazy. Have you ever thought of being an internship, like a 3-month internship at a local accounting company? Or do you know anybody that you could call?
No, but that's something that, I would be extremely interested.
So what I wrote about in the book and what I'm seeing in corporate America now is there's definitely more of a push for adult interns. Because companies are realizing, 20-year-olds don't necessarily bring the same experience that a 40-year-old is. And because of the recession, there's so many older people now that are out of work and have been for several years. And companies are now starting to understand that. Now, I don't know where you live, if it's a small town or a big town, but I would definitely...
It's a college town.
I'd like to try the university here in Eau Claire.
Oh, okay. I would think about that. And I would also see what the university might have to say and see if they've got something you can do on the computer. Because, I'm sorry, I'm speaking to a university audience, but there are ways to do it more cost-effective,
mm-hmm.
you know, than signing up for college again, you know.
Yep.
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. You mentioned younger people, and I thought you had some really good tips. Really good ideas for someone who's going to go into the workplace, back into the workplace, and suddenly those people that maybe were under them are now over them, or just having to work with and fit in with people who are quite a bit younger.
Mm-hmm. That's something that I wrote, that I wrote about in the book, and it was something that a lot of the moms actually did face because, you know, these women were, I mean, for the most part, they were in their 30s and 40s. One woman was in her early 50s when she went back. But for the most part, those that had to go back into that office environment, it was tough because you're dealing with, I mean, you're talking a whole other generation. And you're a lot of these women, when they went back into that first job, when they did decide to go back to work, it was a lesser position than they had left, and it was for less pay. So they had to start over a little bit, and that was, you know, that's rough on your ego, but it's also kind of a challenge when you're dealing with people that are much younger than you. So you do want to, obviously you're not going to have the same interests and things, but I do encourage you, if you do get back into that environment, try to do, say that all the 25-year-olds are going out for happy hour or something, try and go once every few weeks. Try to go every fourth invitation. Because it does build, team building does happen outside of the workplace. That's why companies sponsor softball teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you do want to do that. But also, the women on the flip side of this, and this is the good part, is that on the flip side, these women, when they went back into the office because they had maturity and they had patience and they had multitasking skills, because when you're a stay-at-home mom, I mean, you're the ultimate multitasker, all of those skills ended up helping them to get promoted faster. And that happened to more than one woman that I interviewed, because once they got in, their experience propelled them in the boss's mind, because that boss wants somebody that they can trust, that they know is going to get the job done. You know, it's a business. We're all there to work, right? And that, what I thought was the most fascinating part, is that once you get in, it can be a good thing that you're older.
I liked one of the stories you told about a woman who was really the junior person in the office, but she very professional and held herself well, and she would often get pulled into meetings above the others who were kind of above her because she of the kind of image and the skills that she presented.
And it was also how she carried herself, and
yeah.
That's what you're talking about. Because
yeah.
It was also how she carried herself, and the fact that she, I think that her manager at the time, and she ended up getting a big promotion, by the way, at that firm. Her manager at the time, they were closer in age than the junior associates. That was a public relations mm-hmm. firm. And she found that there was a trust, that relationship with the boss that was a trust. And that does happen, you know. Another woman in Dallas, I remember, she was a retail manager. She managed retail stores, and she actually owned her own store at one point. Then she went stayed home for several years. When she went to go get back, she was interviewing for a retail position, and the woman said that because she had the experience and because she was older, she was the right person for the job. Her age, being older, was a benefit for that job, because a retail store, you're managing younger people.
What about what about this, the whole business of, let's talk about applying and interviewing for a job and having to deal with, well, your own attitude as you enter into this whole thing, into an interview and talking with people, what you should do and perhaps what you should not do.
For the interview process itself,
mm-hmm.
once you get the interview? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's a few things. I mean, first off, before you start that interview process, you know, go out and buy two good interview outfits. Because depending on the job, you could have a second interview the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So be prepared with two interview outfits. That's the first thing. As far as the interview process, you know, being a broadcaster, you learn a lot of things about body language and presentation. I can't be on television with, you know, my hair messed up and my messing with my phone and
mm-hmm.
fidgeting and not making eye contact with the camera. I can't do those things. Neither can you in an interview. So the biggest thing is, you know, not just put your phone away, but make sure when you go in that you sit up straight. You either cross your legs at the, this is for women, cross your legs at the ankle or over the knee, and that you make sure that you maintain eye contact with the interviewer. Also, when they say, do you have any questions, ask something. I don't care what it is. But I interviewed a lot of HR professionals for the book, and they said a lot of times that the person would just sit there because they were nervous. And so they wouldn't ask a follow-up question. Think of something, anything, to engage with that person because it shows that you're really interested and present and that you've been really engaged in the process. And then also, certainly you have to do that follow-up right away. If you're a woman who knows that this job has to fit into a certain schedule for your kids,
yeah.
especially if you have younger kids, the one question I recommend to ask is, tell me about the culture here.
Hmm.
What is the culture here? Because if that person that's interviewing says, well, we're hardworking, we work weekends, we're dedicated, it's all hands on deck. If you hear that, stop, because that may not be the right job for you and your family, because you've got to think about everyone when you go back to work.
And it is difficult for, as you write about in several cases, where it's difficult for women. There sometimes can be even resentment among other employees when a kid gets sick and you've got to go home.
Well, you know, obviously you've read the book, but that happened to a woman, and I was really surprised by this. She was out of school. She was working out of school. And, you know, women can be supportive of other women. Women can sometimes not be supportive of other women. And this is what happened to her. She went back. Her son was I think he was about six. He was in the school. So it was elementary school. And she wanted to go back part-time. She didn't want to go back full-time. Wanted to go back part-time. So she came back part-time, and she was working in the office and doing administrative things. Well, she had a lot of problems with some of the other teachers because the teachers resented the fact that she was part-time. And she ended up having a lot of conflicts with her colleagues. And she was able to work it out by going to school administration and, you know, having a meeting and sitting down and saying, this is what's happening. But part of it was that, yes, she had that flexibility. And some of these women that resented her were also moms themselves. That really surprised me. I just thought, what?
You know,
I mean, just one of the most shocking things I learned is like, you just don't always know how people are going to behave.
I wish I had asked this. I'm sort of asking this out of order because I asked you about interviews. But I want to go back to social media. I thought you had some really good ideas. You talk a little bit about resumes, but also a place like LinkedIn, for example, and how to be effective. LinkedIn is a pretty important place, I think, for many people.
LinkedIn is big. And
yeah.
I don't know if you saw the news that crossed today, because there's been obviously the tragedy in Orlando, but Microsoft is buying LinkedIn.
Oh, I didn't see that. Oh.
I know. Believe me, no other news, but really the Orlando shooting has been out there today in the news cycle. But yes, Microsoft is buying LinkedIn. LinkedIn is big. And what I like about LinkedIn, and I had never done it until I started researching the book because I've been at Fox for almost 10 years. I haven't looked for a job in a long time. And so what I discovered when I built my profile is it gives you this huge opportunity to make it about you. It's your picture. It's more descriptive. It's more interactive. It's just a better way to, like, sell yourself. They give you all these little nodules, bubbles that you fill out where you can sell your skills. Like the woman that called in, and she was an accountant when she was young. whatever skills she had as an accountant, mathematical, analytical, you know, number crunching, whatever, put those down. And that skill section is very prominent on LinkedIn. So I really like LinkedIn. And also, you start to link with other people, and that's when you start to really find a network. Hopefully, at that point, you got to know where you're going. You got to know what you want to do when you get onto LinkedIn. But once you're at that stage, it's mission critical. I think it's everybody has to have a LinkedIn profile, really.
And obviously, you need an outstanding resume as well. What are a few more tips for developing a resume for somebody who's been out of the workplace for quite some time? And there's always that gap to worry about. And there's also about the wording. I know for my own students, when we talk about resumes, I'm having many of my students will do a different resume for every job they're applying for.
Absolutely. You do have to customize a resume. Let me start with that first, because there's something that I learned in my research at Fox, actually, that a lot of it, now everything is online. You submit an online resume, right?
Yeah.
Well, they've got computer software now, these companies do, that will look for keywords in resumes. Say that they have one position and they get 500 resumes. They need to screen those, and one person isn't going to do it, right?
No.
So they've got this computer program that actually looks for keywords that are from the job description. And if you have those keywords on your resume that match in some way, shape, or form what that job description was, that's how they filter out resumes. So there's a big chance your resume never gets seen by an actual person. That's the first thing to be aware of when you're crafting a resume. So yes, change your resume up for every job and customize it. Number two, with resumes, this has stood the test of time, this theory and this rule. Keep it to one page. Nobody wants to see a 2-3-4-page resume. I don't care how many mathematical certifications, awards, and, you know, I don't care if you won the Pulitzer Prize. Keep that resume to one page. Hiring managers have ADD. They literally are going to scan it. Now, when it comes to women who have been out of the workforce, here's what you do with that resume, because you are going to have that gap, and you're going to be asked about it eventually down the road whether you're interviewing second, third, whatever. That gap needs to go lower. How do you do this? Well, on the top is your name, your information, your LinkedIn profile, if you have another social media account, maybe it's a Facebook that's professional, not personal, professional, mm-hmm. Put that up there, put your phone number, all that good stuff. Of course, they're going to email you. But then below that, you want to put that skills, you put your objective line, what you're looking for, and you have to cater that to every job. But then that skill section needs to be there. That's where moms can really fill that in. Because let's be honest, if you have to negotiate with a 5-year-old, you can negotiate with a 25-year-old.
You're right.
You know, there's ways to put the skills that you have right now, no matter what stage you're at, on that skills section. But the skills section doesn't show dates. The skills section doesn't put that prominence to the years. You put that lower. Now, I just was helping a woman here in New York that's been out of the workforce for 18 years. And she took my advice and she put her information in the skills section, but then she had her previous jobs. Well, right then I see 19, it was 19, oh, I don't know, it was like the late 80s, I can't remember. I said, you got to flip this because her education was solid. Even though the education was years and years and years ago, her degree popped out to me. So I said, put your education, then put the work experience lower. You're just trying to cut. It's not that you're trying to hide anything. You're not doing that. But you're really trying to show them who you are and give a broader sense of who you are versus I've been nowhere for 5 years or 10 years. You know?
Well, I tell you what, I really enjoyed reading your book, and there are so many things that we have not talked about today, Cheryl. But I really appreciate you taking the time, and I'm certainly recommending this book. It's a very valuable resource to any woman, and frankly, many sections men could use as well in getting back into the workplace. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Cheryl Cassone is the author of The Comeback, How Today's Moms Re-enter the Workplace Successfully. She's a financial contributor, provides weekly job reports on the Fox Business Network. She and the author of, again, Comeback, The Comeback, How Today's Moms Reenter the Workplace Successfully. Well, I tell you what, tomorrow at this time, we're going to talk with our guests about approaches to parenting, discipline, and whether sibling rivalry could be good or is it bad. We'll learn about that tomorrow. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.